Hello, everybody, and welcome to this new episode.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this new episode. Isn't it challenging, Francisco?
Would you please stop it? I'm talking first. Today.
Wait a minute. But how can
Hello, Jorge,
say here?
It's me, Jorge.
Okay, Francisco.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening. Who knows? I don't know where you are now and what time of day you are doing this. So, you know, it goes for everybody. Hello.
Hola, amigos. Hello. Well, today we have started with a little bit of chaos. And what we want to talk about is the chaos that we find or we have found in our lives as tour guides. Today we're going to, obviously, we're not going to give any names at all. So
oh,
don't
really?
Panic.
Not
we
all of them.
We might be talking about you, somebody that is listening, but we will not give your name away.
Yeah, it's true, Fran. We have gone through some challenging moments, haven't we?
Well, I mean, we've been many years on the road. We have met amazing people, great. We have made friends.
Oh, yeah.
I always say that our job, it's breathtaking. It's a privilege to work as we do. And our job, it's beautiful. It's fun. But sometimes our guests, our tour members are challenging. Let's put it that way.
Well, not only tour members, Francisco, also situations.
Well, yeah, situations are also... Yeah, we have to be prepared, open to whatever happens.
Well, more than open, I would say. Because sometimes I just really wanted to commit suicide in some occasions. But
then it was like, okay, the thing is that maybe our listeners don't understand that when we are the tour guides, we have this pressure, this thing that we want everybody to enjoy, and we don't want anybody to go under any stress when they're on their holidays. So we take it very personal to try to protect them, and whatever happens with one tour member or one external situation doesn't affect the vibe in the group. So that's the challenging part of our job.
Yeah, I agree.
So Jorge, I know 100%. you have 100,000 stories about it.
No, actually, I have 103,495.
But let's share with our audience a couple of them. So, Jorge, you start first.
Thanks, Fran. You're throwing the ball over my roof. Okay, thank you very much, indeed.
You are more than welcome.
Okay, it's not a matter of being polite here. I'm not going to talk about any situations with tour members, which there are many. But I'm just going to talk about a couple of very stressful moments as a group that I have gone through. And I mean, it was kind of, whoever knows me and know my my face when I get surprised, it's like a poem, you know. You can read through my face.
I mean, Jorge, many times you don't need to talk. You have, your face has subtitles.
Really? Am I that?
I mean, you are an open book. It's like, Jorge, change that face. It shows.
Well, picture this. Picture this. This is like the Golden Girls, you know.
Remember Sicily, 1920.
Sicily? Yeah, that's right. Well, not that far back, but, you know, a few years ago. I was on a tour that was crossing the entire Iberian Peninsula. And we were sleeping in a very small town, like about a couple of hours east from Madrid, called Cuenca. And we were in a very little inn there. The entire group was taking the entire inn. And there was one very stressful day, which is driving very, very early from Cuenca to Madrid to the airport to catch a plane flying to Bilbao. And then before lunchtime, let me remind Francisco to our audience here that in Spain, lunchtime is really late for, you know, many standards. So before 2:30, we had to be in Bilbao, already had to have visited the Guggenheim Museum, and the plane was landing at 1 p.m. So we had
a little rush.
It is, yeah. I mean, everything was millimetrically measured, the time. So if anything went wrong, it was like a chain, like a domino effect. The end would be a chaos. Well, everything was going very smooth. We departed on time very early in the morning from Cuenca. We got to the airport. Considering that we were arriving to Madrid at the rush hour, it would take us from the very, very outskirts of the city of Madrid to the airport. It would take us like about an hour and a half, okay, to get there. Then check-in time, you know, you need to be at least a couple of hours before the departure of the flight. Then the flight, landing in Bilbao. picking up our luggage, going to the bus, load the bus with the luggage and the people jumping in. This age segment of my group in that day with that company, you know, is I'm not going to say any company, I'm not going to say any names at all, but they were a kind of a very advanced age group. And everything, you know, you have to be patient. As you said, it is very challenging, but sometimes when the work comes out perfect, you just congratulate yourself, at least internally. But we were going to Bilbao, and suddenly, like about 15 minutes before the plane was due to land, said, "Hello, everybody," you know, as the captain of the vessel goes, "we have a problem to reach Bilbao. Apparently, there's a lot of fog over there, and the plane that just landed before us said that they just landed totally blind. You know, they couldn't see anything at all, etc., etc. So we were diverted to another airport."
No,
Álava.
Oh, in Vitoria.
Yeah, yeah, in the south of the Basque Country. I mean, by road, it's barely an hour from Álava to Bilbao, but imagine just landing there in Álava.
There's nothing.
It was the very first time ever and the only one that have landed in Álava. I still today cannot believe how the plane landed there, because we circled a couple of times. It was extremely windy. And I have to tell you, only twice in my life is when I thought, okay, that's it. Bye, folks. You know, I was going to die, seriously. I mean, the shake of the plane was absolutely incredible. I couldn't believe that I was living that situation. Anyway, the plane circled a couple of times the airport just to find a gap in between the wind, the streams to land. And we landed there. The runway was so short that I could not believe that the plane landed there. But when we were taken to the terminal, you know, the airport building, it's like double the size of my sitting room. What I have a tele. Yeah, it's so little and so small. The mini carousel that was supposed to be taking the bags out, it was just like, wow, this is like a little merry-go-round instead of a carousel. Anyway, so we got our luggage and everything was, you know, totally, the schedule was a mess. And the highlight of this trip was precisely the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao. So everybody was so upset. And they were talking to me like it was my fault that the plane was landing at the airport. So, Francisco, I know you do understand me. And all I want to do here is to transmit to everybody that sometimes things happen. And we just have to go with the flow. To mention here that it was, you know, the rest of the day went smooth in the sense that everything was delayed. But the local guide in Bilbao managed to talk to the people at the entrance, and they, you know, they allowed us to go after lunch to the museum. So that was a kind of a, you know, grand finale for the day, that everything was done. But, you know, for the meantime, I don't wish, not even to my worst enemy, to go through that situation.
That's probably one of the most stressful things that happened. I mean, suddenly you're like, okay, we are not even in the same city. I have a time that I have to walk in the museum. And museums and sites, more and more, are super strict with the timing.
Yep,
so
true.
It's like,
that's right.
Oh, hell, what do I do? Then it's, I think you have to get out your our personal charm, go to the front desk. And, hi, I'm like 4 hours behind schedule, but it's not my fault. True, please let me in.
True. Okay, Francisco, your turn.
Okay, mine. I'm not going to be so nice like you. I had the weirdest group ever in my life. Mm-hmm. It was going to be only one city tour in Pamplona. It was going to be like 3 hours. Simple, basic. The night before, the company that hired me, they phoned me and they said, please, please, please be patient and be ready for anything. I was like, why? No, it's okay. Just be patient and ready. I was like,
I just panic. When I have one of those calls, I just panic. Seriously.
I know. It's like, oh God, what's going to happen today? So that day came and the next day came. The tour came just in time. It was summertime. It was like super hot in the morning, very early in the morning. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday in Pamplona. There was nobody on the streets. Just this bus arriving to me just in time. I mean, I think it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And I remember the bus coming while the bells, the city bells, they were ringing.
And maybe a couple of cats around.
That was it. Nobody else. So suddenly, everybody comes down, normal people. It was a visit in Spanish. They were from a group from Mexico. And and I went, you know, I would always like to have a little chat with the driver, tell him, okay, you cannot stop here. I go to talk with the driver. The driver looks at me and he tells me, good luck, my friend. All for you. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I'm like, okay. I was like, okay, fine. I was like, okay, fine. Okay, get all of this out of your brain. Hi. So I introduced myself to the leader, the tour leader. And I said, so who is the tour leader? And this person says, oh, we don't go with any leader. We don't follow any leader. He, the light, is our leader.
Excuse me?
I was like, okay. Could you please tell the light to follow me? I was like, who should I approach to? It's okay. Fine. So there we go. And, you know, from the typical bus station, bus stop, a little like nothing outside from the city center in Pamplona, we start walking. And when you start walking, you go with two or three people in the front and there's a little line, people. And suddenly, one of the ladies on the back starts screaming like crazy. Like totally crazy. I'm like, oh my God.
Don't tell somebody... me that one of the cats that were with you beat her.
No, it was worse than that. Oh, I ran to see, I thought she probably tripped and broke a leg or something. So I went to the back of the group and I saw everybody around this lady looking at the lady. And she was screaming like crazy on the floor. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Nobody's helping this lady. So I went to help the lady. And the person who was in charge, not the light, told me, don't touch her. Do not touch her. I was like, okay, sorry. Lady, stand up. I don't know. I was like, what's going on? And the leader, the tour leader, told me, she has been possessed by the black light. We need to do an exorcism. I was like, excuse me? what do you mean an exorcism? I do not have my exorcism apparel with me today. He's like, what do you? He's like, what? This is 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. I'm like, oh, what? Suddenly this guy says, okay, everybody get your gloves. Everybody gets out of their pockets these white cotton gloves. They pick up the lady that now in the moment everybody picks her up, starts screaming like if she was possessed, like going, I mean, crazy. I mean, like all of this screaming in the streets, people start opening the windows, checking what the hell is going on this early in the morning on a Sunday. It was crazy. It's like, okay, what do we need? And the guy tells me what we need is to find the pure tree. I mean,
the what?
The pure tree. A tree that is pure. I'm like, okay. So we went to, you know, Pamplona, the city center. We have Plaza del Castillo, which is Castle's Square, the largest square. And we have many trees in that square. Uh-huh. So I said, okay, let's take this lady over here. And here you have a bunch of trees. Choose one. I don't know which one is the pure one. Hell. So suddenly he says, that's the other one. We had to cross the whole square with the lady screaming. It was like all of this. In the moment we were getting closer and closer to that tree, this woman, I mean, there was a screaming, yelling, cursing, all of these words coming out of her mouth. I'm like, excuse me? Can you say all of that in one sentence? It was like horrible. As we were approaching the tree, the people that were carrying her started to sing at the beginning, very, very soft. Oh, there's a light, help us light. As we were reaching the tree, that started becoming la la la. There was a lot. So it was all of these people screaming, this singing, the lady swearing all of these horrible words, all of this screaming. the people everywhere in the balconies, they were like, okay, we have a show today. What's going on? So they put the lady against the tree. They put her on the floor. And suddenly, two police officers come by. Good luck for me. I knew one of them. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? I was like, oh, you know, the basic. It's a emergency exorcism on a Sunday morning. We were like,
yeah, something normal in a tour guide's life.
What are you talking about, an exorcism? Yeah, you are about to witness our exorcism in the middle of the square. So suddenly the guy, the leader, he takes out of his backpack a dagger, a huge dagger, a huge knife. Seriously? The police officers, I mean, it was huge. The police says, okay, that's illegal. In Spain, you cannot have a dagger that size outside. I was like, please, trust me. He's going to do an exorcism. Yeah, but if that exorcism requires to get that knife in the heart of this lady, he's going to kill somebody. Like, so imagine all of this tension, all of this screaming, the chants of the other guy. The people, when people on the balconies, they saw the dagger, people started screaming, he's going to kill her! He's going to... And he was like, the most dramatic moment. So there he was with his dagger and light, get away from here. Oh, don't possess my friend and the light, bring the light and not the dark light. I was like, all of this is screaming. Suddenly, he takes the dagger, puts it on the floor. Everybody gets quiet. The lady that had been, I don't know, possessed, opens her eyes, looks at me directly in the eyes and says, okay, we can continue the city tour. I was like, I cannot continue the city tour. I need a chamomile, for God's sakes.
I would have gone away the moment they were saying that she was possessed.
It is the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me. I mean, obviously, I mean, the rest of the tour was kind of normal. I mean, after that, anything that they would do was normal to me. But obviously, at the end of the tour, although it was a Sunday, I called the company because I had a direct telephone of one of the people. I was like, okay, if these people ever get to come over here, please do not hire me again. It was like, hell no. They are the weirdest people in the world.
No wonder they warned you the night before.
Yeah, yeah. And the driver was like, well, when the driver came to pick up the group, he asked me, so what happened to you? Did you get a possession or did you have a... I'm like, I got the possession.
Have you worked for the same company again?
Yeah. Normal people with extend that group.
Normal people. No possessions, diabolic things.
Exorcisms, nothing. Emergency, nothing. Totally normal things.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
So that's my experience, my worst experience as a tour guide.
I don't envy you at all, Francisco, for that.
Anyway, Jorge, so what's your second story?
Oh, my second story is a recent one. Actually, it was last year in 2022. It was in Sevilla, south of Spain. You know, it's the moment I got to the hotel with my group, someone tells me, hey, Jorge, you know about the taxi strike on Sunday, the day the group leaves the hotel? And then...
And you leave the hotel by taxi? I assume.
Oh yeah, they have to go by taxi either to the train station or to the airport. I mean, it's not the only option, but you know, it's the most convenient and very well priced. Anyway, so I just turned around to where that voice was coming from, and the lady at the counter, when she saw my face, she said, "Ooh, didn't you know about it?" And I said, "No, I had no idea." So from that moment onwards, I know that I worked with the group, but my mind was somewhere else. I didn't know what to do because, I mean, Sevilla is a beautiful city and everything is walking distance, but as long as you're willing to walk. I just explained the situation to the group and I said, I don't have any solution now. I don't know what to do. I mean, Uber was also threatened by the taxi association in Sevilla, so they were not doing any services at all and nor any other companies with private cars, nothing at all. I mean, it was just the city totally paralyzed because of that. So we had to rely either on our feet or public transportation. So after...
That could be an experience.
Yeah, it was a experience. Anyway, so I was just, you know, my head was chewing all the time. What can I do? solution can I offer? Well, I just called the group out, and we had a kind of improvised meeting at the lobby of the hotel. And I said, look, there is only two ways to go either to the train station one way, or the other way is to go to the airport, and it is public transportation. So I know that our American friends and North American friends, they are not much used to the public transportation, which I understand, you know, it's part of the culture. But here it was kind of to try and educate very, very quickly and very fast to the people. So I said, okay, at this time, tomorrow morning, after we finish our schedule, I'm going to meet here at the people that needs to go to the train station. I'm going to show them how to make it. We're going to walk and we're going to ride on the bus. I'm going to take you to the train station. You're going to see it's very easy, but there is a couple of indications that you need to know. They're just like calling the bus and which bus you have to ride on. And then, let's say like about 45 minutes later, I'm going to meet here to those people that need to go to the airport, and you have to go by city bus. The following day, I took people to the train station, and then I took some people to the bus station to go to the head of the line to go to the airport. Some people came to me later on and said, oh, no worries, we know where the bus station is. Oh, yes, sure. Yes, it's going to be here. I said, no, that is not the beginning of the bus station. That is a bus station. Yes, it is a bus station, but it's not the head of the line. So if the bus gets full when it starts to go to the airport, it will follow the same route. But if it has, you know, no capacity inside, the bus will not stop at all in the other city stops.
Oh, that's stressing.
It is very stressing. So that's all I could do. And the following morning, I know that everybody got there on time, but some people, they were really, really stressed because they said to, they were also, you know, kind of, how can I say this? Not blaming me, but they said to me that I should have taken them. And I said, well, you know, it's...
gave them the opportunity.
Sorry, say it again.
You gave them the opportunity to...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, but anyway, you know, sometimes things are blamed on the guide. I'm not saying that we are here the one to blame. No, it's that... I understand it's the frustration, okay, of not getting things the way that one personally wants to have it done. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking like if I was a tour member, that everything, you know, gets mixed up and messed up at the very end of the tour. But anyway, I know that everybody got to the airport on time and also to the train station. But it was a very, very stressful night, you know.
That's a very stressing day. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Okay, now your second one, Francisco.
Okay, my second one, it has to do with food.
Food. Oh, what a surprise.
Well, more and more we find in groups celiacs, gluten-free, lactose-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian. And it is becoming one of the most difficult things to organize those meals. Because obviously when you travel on a tour group, what you do, it's the menus are set and we are paying for a menu for 20 or 12 people. And suddenly, if you have a group of 20, you have 10, 11 people who are special menus. The people at the restaurant, they're not very happy. So I think it's one of the most challenging things is the food.
Francisco, just let me say one thing here. We want to, I think that you're going to agree with me on this. One thing is allergies, that by all means, I mean, that's your health and it's your life involved in it. By all means, that is totally, totally respected. But eating habits or lifestyle about eating is not part of our culture, is it?
It's very complicated. And as you're saying, I mean, especially, you know me, I have a lot of food allergies. Yeah.
You're a pain in the neck sometimes, I know, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, but I have a lot of food allergies. So I know that it can kill you. So when somebody says, I cannot eat these because I'm gluten-free or I am celiac or I'm allergic to peanuts, all of these, I'm like super aware. Obviously, we can make mistakes, but 99.99999% of the times, it works. But the food elections are much more complicated, especially in Spain, where we eat a lot of meat, a lot of pork. So that is, but more and more the restaurants are okay with it.
Yeah,
they're open and we can deal with it. But I had a special group. I had a special group. It was just a family of four. And they were, I was going to be with this family for 5 days.
Mm-mm.
And the company didn't tell me anything about it. And suddenly, when the family, it was not a family, it was two couples, two friends, four friends. And they tell me, okay, so we do have all of these restaurants and la, 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 la. And then they tell me, well, I have a little thing about food. We are...
A little thing about food that really scares me.
Yeah, there's a, well, get ready. They told me they were colorívoros.
What?
Colors. They would eat in colors. Mondays, they would eat, let's say, white food. Tuesdays, green food. Wednesdays, orange food. Thursdays, black food. I was like, oh, that's so funny. So great joke. They were like, no, we eat by colors. I was like, this is not a joke. Do I have to look for white food on Monday? Okay, white food. Asparagus, cauliflower, and yogurt.
Chunk of bread.
No, the outside was not. I told them, what about bread? He says, no, because outside is yellow. I was like, oh, wonderful.
I could have committed suicide in front of them.
That is the most weird thing I've ever had in food. I'm like, excuse me? So, but think about it. Okay, white food, what do you have? Asparagus, cauliflower, and milk.
Well, asparagus are slightly yellow.
But, and white fish. Well, they would accept them as white. Okay, so white, I could do. Okay,
green food. I can't believe this. Seriously?
What? But tell me green food.
Green
besides
food.
Vegetables?
I don't know.
Just vegetables. I mean, it cannot be a salad because it has tomatoes. So just lettuce and just spinach with, not spinach with, I don't know, bechamel sauce and cream cheese on top. No, because that's white. So it has to be green. But what about the day I had black food?
I'm not going to say what I'm thinking.
I mean, it's like blood sausage. You can have squid in black ink and eggplant. Those are the only three black food that I can think about.
Well, I can think of... you know, the cover of my microphone that is here in front of me.
Like mine's like, okay, go eat this plastic. Can you imagine 1 week looking for colors?
I
was like,
I cannot imagine it.
And imagine me telling the restaurant, hi, I would like to have black food. What? Yeah. What do you have black? It's like, what are you talking about? Black food. Yep. So that is my weirdest food thing ever.
And did you come out of it totally clear, not committing any crime or anything like
I
that?
I didn't kill them. I was successful. I did a great
Seriously.
Job. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I pulled this out. I mean, no time.
Well, knowing you, I bet you have that written down somewhere. Yes, in case anything happens to you in the future, I want that list.
Well, would you get with these strange weird things? You put your brain to the test and suddenly all of these things come out. I mean,
look,
let's play around. Okay.
No, there is a moment in my life that I don't need to worry about those things. Seriously.
No, but
I mean,
okay,
if someone comes to me with that, I'm telling you right now here in front of everybody, I would not tell them or even think about it. I mean, that is ridiculous, Francisco. Seriously.
Well, I took it as a challenge.
No, it's not. I know. I don't need those challenges. I'm sorry.
You're more
even
radical
by
than
colors?
I
am. No, I'm sorry. No. I respect... If you're a vegan, if someone is a vegetarian, if you're a pescatarian, I accept that because your lifestyle. But eating by colors? No, I'm sorry. No.
It is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it is absolutely silly just to say a kind word.
We could say a bad word.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are my two stories of your traveling or challenging travels.
Okay, well, Francisco, why don't we do one thing just for a future? We don't know when. Why don't we, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure that you do, your list is as extensive or even longer than mine. Why don't we make in the future, you know, sometime, another of these challenging moments for a tour guide?
I think it's kind of funny. So, hey, once in a while,
I do believe we need like a black belt for ninja, you know, just to deal with all this.
No, but I think this, you know, hopefully our listeners have enjoyed these stupid little things that has come out to our mind. But yeah, I think it's a great idea to have another talk about, hey, episode 2 of challenging being a tour guide.
Written down here, it's going to be in a future. We don't know when, but it's going to be episode 2 of challenging moments for a tour guide. Well, Francisco, what can I say? I'm really shocked. I'm really shocked about your diabolical possession and your color eating habits.
Well, I wouldn't want to be in your feet, have it there, or like taxi strike at the day of leaving. So I'd rather have color food people. So,
yeah, well, I agree on that. Yeah, I agree on that.
Anyway, Jorge, thank you so much for this fun episode. I shall see you next week.
Yeah, so everybody out there, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget our webpage is Francisco's is travelingsteps.es.
And Jorge's is travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com.
That's correct. Francisco, gracias. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, amigos. Adios. We hope you have enjoyed this episode.
Feel free to join our social media on Instagram and Facebook under Spanish Loops.
Or send us your inputs and maybe topics you could be interested to hear about to our email address, SpanishLoops@gmail.com.
If you liked this podcast, do not forget to share and subscribe in your favorite platform.
Hasta la vista, amigos.